Sunday Meditation, September 4th, 2005.
Okay. The question today, Kuo, has to do with how to be our best selves as we meet this moment, and especially as we look at the disaster of Hurricane Katrina. Any comments or thoughts that you could share with us on the concept of being and how to be our best selves in a time of inconvenience like this would be greatly appreciated. We are those known to you as the principal of Ukul. And we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we come to you this day. We would thank each of you for the great privilege of being called to this group to speak with you concerning being the best of yourself as you meet the moment, and especially at this particular moment in your awareness of many who suffer at this time from the hurricane you have called Katrina. Your beauty and the care that you have taken to separate out this time and this place and form a circle together for seeking the truth. Touch our hearts very deeply. And it is indeed an honor to be asked to share our humble thoughts with you. We do so with the utmost joy, but we would ask of you that you use your discrimination in listening to what we have to say. We offer you our opinion. We do not claim that it is free of error, nor do we claim that it is the only truth that there is. It is our humble opinion. And if it happens to be part of your personal truth at this time, it will resonate to you. If it does so, then please feel free to work with our thoughts. However, if there is anything that we say that does not seem resonant to you, that does not seem apt or useful to you, we would ask that you please leave it behind, for we would not constitute a stumbling block in your path, nor would we interrupt in any way the sacredness of your spiritual process. If you will observe your own sense of the truth and be scrupulous about maintaining your powers of discrimination, then we will feel free to speak to you without being concerned that we will infringe upon your free will. We thank you for this consideration. The sea spreads out from the land. normally content to keep its boundaries and to laugh like a favored pet coming up to the chair of a beloved human and saying, "Pat me, pat me." That is the way that you are used to thinking of the ocean and resting upon its shores. And that is the way the ocean likes to be thought of. At a time when there is a hurricane, that model of the relationship betwixt sea and land is completely changed. And the sea seems to become a ravaging force that is over against the land, an enemy to the land and to the people who inhabit it. Needless to say, that is not the true model of the relationship betwixt land and sea. Yet we acknowledge the simple distress that must be felt by those who are used to seeing the ocean as a friend and who suddenly and abruptly must realize that the archetypal energy of water can be destructive as well as constructive. A force of the separation of things into their elements instead of the agent of transformation and healing. We encourage each of you, as you face this situation, to give yourself time to come into relationship with these simple and elemental facts. And before you attempt to do any spiritual work upon the situation, simply to allow yourself the adjustment time necessary for realizing that the emotions of the ocean, as it moves through the processes which are part of the destiny brought into the present moment by the energies of the planetary sphere and its peoples are condign and benign rather than evil or being some force sent by the Creator to punish. This is emphatically not the case. This instrument has, at another time, during another hurricane, communicated directly with the ocean and has experienced firsthand the deep sadness and sorrow of the water, of that which archetypally is water. That is what this instrument would call the Gabrielle energy. There is nothing personal or judgmental about the occurrences upon your planet at this time. So as we begin speaking of being your best self at a time of inconvenience, we would prepare the ground in this wise by assuring you that you are not in the grip of that which you must fear. Rather, you are part of the people of planet Earth. And you are all friends of the family, children of a mother who is called Gaia or planet Earth. And you are seeing Gaia, your beloved mother, through the birth of her child, the birth of fourth density Earth. Indeed, the birth of both the heaven and the earth of fourth density. May we say that for each of you, this was an object dearly wished, the object of having an incarnation that coincided with this time. Each of you wanted to make a difference. And so you came into incarnation with all the courage and the foolhardiness of any knight in shining armor. There are many in your inner and unseen planes who have also purchased dearly the opportunity to be with you at this time. For the plight and the sorrow of planet Earth has cried out to the universe. And there are a tremendous number of what you would call masters, angels, archangels, seraphim, cherubim, divas, and all manner of essences and entities, many of whom having no name, but whose presence within your planetary sphere at this time has constantly mended frayed edges of consciousness and been that energy which helped so many of you come together and communicate with real authenticity, helping prepare the ground upon which you walk metaphysically during this most precious time of incarnation for each of you. As this instrument and others within the circle have said in the conversation preceding this channeling, the time of inconveniences has indeed begun. Indeed, my friends, it has been going on for decades. If you wish to play with statistics, you may go back approximately 40 to 50 of your years and discover the rapid increase in substantial disasters or inconveniences, as those of Ra have called such occurrences. And this buildup of inconveniences has continued to deepen throughout this period. What you have been attempting to do, and by you we mean this group and many other groups of a similar nature around the globe, has been to so energize, enlighten the atmosphere of the planet that those things which, if they occurred rapidly, would indeed create a planetary shift, as this instrument was speaking of earlier, and slow it down. It is as though you were attempting to take a rubber band and instead of pulling it until it was taut and then allowing it to be released from one hand so that it snaps suddenly onto the other hand, you are attempting tiny bit by tiny bit to lessen the tension on that rubber band until it is at rest without ever snapping that second hand. The rubber band image goes only so far because we are speaking of the planetary need to realign its skin. Which this instrument would call the tectonic plates that underlie the earth beneath your feet. These plates of under earth, shall we say, have slid over each other back and forth, readjusting as the planet has come through various adjustments throughout its billions of years of being a sphere within the creation of the Father. Several times it has realigned those tectonic plates with some force and rapidity, and indeed all life upon the planet has changed and been transformed. The planetary adjustment has two components, to be simplistic. One component is simply physical, and you are experiencing in Hurricane Katrina and in other disasters that you have experienced the necessary and ultimately beneficial readjustments of those tectonic plates. The planet itself is almost completely through with the birth process. Baby Earth is in good shape. But third density Gaia, your own mother, is less than calm and in need of much reassurance at this time. Please realize that although you in your individual hearts love your mother and have great respect and admiration for planet Earth, as a culture, you have for some of your time been hard of hearing where she is concerned. You have taken her circulatory system and altered it in ways which are not helpful to the planet, damming her rivers and polluting her waters. More importantly, the energies which you have allowed to move through your hearts as a culture are dark, hostile, and aggressive. And Gaia has become increasingly distressed because she cannot make the contact that she would like to make with each heart that beats within her children. And so you come to this circle of seeking as agents of the divine. And you have a great deal to offer as part of the creative principle. Let us look a bit at what you do have to offer, for that is essential to realize if you are to do the work that you came here to do. The work of being most authentically and deeply who you are. As you sit in this circle, visualize it, if you will, with us. Each of you is a lovely rainbow to us. That is what we see of you. We do not see your face and your form. We are of a metaphysical origin. And therefore, what we see is your energy signature. Each of you has an energy body. And we see the sum of the colors of that energy body. As if each of you were a prism and we had held you to the sunlight so that all your colors splayed out in a lovely progression from the red to the violet. Each of you is unique, a beautiful individual bloom. Each of you is vibrating at this moment without having any idea that you are doing so. As a crystal
Yeah, this is not a crystal such as a gem or a stone. You are the kind of crystal that water is, let us say. As you come in contact with each other, you do not join point to point and form a hard structure that solidifies and cannot change. You join as water joins drop to drop, not losing your individuality, but blending your rainbow self with all the other magical beings in this circle and creating an absolutely stupendous circle of colored lights that mount one upon another and begin to spin an energy that swirls clockwise and creates a pyramid that extends far above your dwelling in which you now rest your bodies. Your energy moves downward into the very roots of the earth as well. And each of you is bringing up the infinite love and light of the one Creator into your body systems and allowing it to move through that hole, shall we say, for simplicity's sake, that runs right through the energy body, so that you are basically instruments that are allowing the love and the light of the one Creator to move through your vehicles, to be blessed by your conscious awareness of this process, and then to be released as radiation when you are completely filled up with this love and light yourself, so that you are full of energy and have everything that you need. The infinite excess of this generous Creator flows out from you as radiation from a lighthouse. As this instrument said earlier, each of you has electromagnetic energy and is running a weak electrical current that is measurable even in the crude instrumentation of your scientists at this time. The full panoply of energies is not at this time measurable by your instrumentation. But we assure you that each of you is connecting in subtle ways with each of the other energies that have interpenetrated your aura at this time. And so your potential as an energy focus, as a group lighthouse, shall we say, is substantial. Perhaps those within the group who wish to do sums can figure out just what the power of this group is. For each entity doubles the next entity, so that you are going from a power of two to a power of four, for the next person added to a power of eight to a power of 16 and so forth. The simple coming together in groups indeed is one very efficient way of maximizing your ability to serve at this time. As the one known as Roman said earlier, simply coming together as a group with those of a like mind and resting in the unspoken and the spoken support and encouragement of such a group enlivens and encourages the memory of who you are and why you are here, and helps you to be who you are. We would like to thank the one known as Connie for investigating our previous comments and looking for those themes which she felt that perhaps we had offered hints in previous sessions that we would like to pursue. May we say to the one known as Connie that she was quite accurate in identifying being as a theme that we would like to pursue. It is peculiarly difficult to talk about being, especially because of the fact that we are talking about being in such a way as to penetrate the outer husk of what your peoples consider it is to be. So let us look at that just a bit. When this instrument was 5 years old, her mother asked her, "Who are you?" This instrument's mother was a born teacher and enjoyed working with her very intelligent child. Before school teachers got their hands upon her mind, she wanted to explore the world through this young child's eyes. And so she asked the one known as Carla, "Who are you?" and asked her to write down her thoughts. And this instrument, as a 5-year-old, industriously sat down and with her childish printing, which is all she had learned up to that point, wrote down that she was a girl and a daughter, that she was a member of society and a citizen of the world, and that she was a child of the Creator. This is the heart of what we mean by saying that we would like you to penetrate through the outer layers or the husks of what it is to be. You are many things. You wear many masks. And even the deeper ways of being have mask-like components. It is from the standpoint of waking reality very difficult to gain a direct apprehension of your own presence. But we assure you, the part of you that is in flesh and embodied upon planet Earth is just the tip of the iceberg, if you will, of who you are. As a body, mind, and spirit dwelling in flesh, you are a doorway through which you have been able to bring out of all that you are a little suitcase full of personality traits, gifts, and limitations, which you have chosen very carefully and with exquisite thought. You wished to bring those gifts that you would use to offer your outer service. As well, you wish to bring blockages and limitations that you felt would enable you to be confused in certain helpful ways that would lead you to question your suffering. For indeed, the blockages and limitations are brought through specifically in order to offer you a catalyst, and therefore what you normally perceive of as suffering. That would bring you face to face with those parts of yourself that you have not yet, in your own estimation, brought into perfect balance. You are a spark of the Creator. We can only describe this to you in terms of a hologram. You are not part of the Creator. You are the Creator. But you are a spark of that Creator that from the beginning of this creation has been on its own journey, doing its own observation and research, culling out for yourself from all of the information and feelings that you have been through, the winnowed treasure and harvest of your experience thus far. You come to this present moment having come through experience after experience, incarnation upon incarnation. You have been through many worlds. You have been all things. And for that part of yourself that is not limited by flesh, you are everything you ever were and everything that you ever will be. All rolled up into the present moment and this precise point at which you are vibrating and experiencing the now. That is the extent of being you. You are all things. Yet you are also that which completes the pattern in a way no one else can. No one else has had your experiences or your reactions to those experiences. Even the worst of those things about yourself that you could tell is a gift to the one infinite creator. For it is an authentic realization, albeit colored and distorted, as all things are within illusion, of your truth. Part of what you are here to do is to learn to honor those parts of yourself that you now see as unredeemed, unforgiven, or unacceptable. This instrument studies and has for her lifetime studied a book called the Holy Bible. It consists of two groups of documents which are called testaments. The Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Creator is seen as an agent of judgment. In the New Testament, there are attempts made to see the Creator as an agent of redemption. As so-called holy works go, it is, as are all holy works, mixed in its polarity. And we do not encourage any to study it literally. However, it is very informative to look within at the internalization of the voice of that holy work, which for so many of you in this circle has been part of the formation of the public or cultural part of your beingness. There is within you a culturally approved and societally practiced urge towards judgment. And as you internalize that voice of Yahweh or Jehovah or the judgmental God, so you condemn yourself to a continuing internalized judgment of self by self. While there are some benefits to this mode of observation of the self, we would say that it has obvious limitations. Less limited, though still quite colored and distorted, is the internalized voice of the New Testament, or that agent or son of the Creator which is called the Christ, or Jesus the Christ. This is a voice which does not deny error upon the part of all of those who draw breath. It simply invokes that illimitable force called compassion or forgiveness. It does not suggest that there is no such thing as a mistake. Or a so-called sin. But it does suggest that when such an error is perceived within the self, that it be viewed with an eye, not only to understanding this error, but also to accepting it, loving it, balancing it, becoming friends with it, telling it your story, allying it to yourself, and thereby integrating it into your being. One thing you are attempting to do while you are here is to gather up the lost sheep of yourself, those elements of yourself that have been unredeemed because you have not been pleased with them. You have seen them as the wolf, the vampire. You have seen these undeveloped portions of your own light as unworthy. And you have shut parts of yourself out of your heart. Part of the work that you do and can only do in flesh, part of this valuable experience of being an incarnation and blind as a bat to the ways of spirit, is to put yourself in the position of needing to abandon yourself at last to faith. Can you believe that you are perfect? Can you believe that you are whole? We say to you, these things are true. They are not true in a localized sense or in a literal sense. They are not true upon the surface of your life or your perception. But in terms of getting to the heart of your being, getting to the eye of you, it is central to see all that comes before your face, which you would judge, as that which is to be accepted, forgiven, redeemed, and at last loved. Who are you? And what do you have to offer in a time of inconvenience? You are a magical and sacred part of the one infinite creator. Certainly your creatorship is young. You are a very young god or goddess. You are a toddler. Yet you have in this system of illusion hands with which to offer help, a mouth with which to speak, and a heart that is willing to love and understand. These are the aspects of your beingness. that your fragile, small bodies contain. All of spirit is pouring through you at this moment. And you may choose to offer words or to reach out a hand as part of the good, part of the love within this moment. You will notice that we have been speaking of you as if you were not really a personality, and the truth of it is that your personality is the very least of who you are. Beingness, at first, is a process of individuation. That is the beginning of maturity. But when you have conquered that first slope and stand upon the peak of that mountain and can say, I am myself. I am not my mother or my father or my job, etc. You have cleared a very small mountain, shall we say, compared to the rocky crags in front of you yet to climb. For all of creation lies before the One who is able at last to penetrate into the heart of I am. Sense your beingness at this moment and know that you are at the beginning of a fantastic and powerful story. May you enjoy the drama that you have chosen to unroll for yourself. May you write it well. May you act with passion. May you be true to the desires that brought you to this present moment. And as the energies of this time and your evolvement unfold before you, may you be fearless. For you shall inevitably be transformed, and in your transformation, your light and your love will bless all whose lives you touch. This instrument is telling us that we must move on, and so we shall, noting once again that there is much depth to this material of beingness, which may fruitfully be evoked by further questioning. We again thank the One known as Connie for working with attempting to deepen the questioning process, for it is of great help to us to find this kind of focus in the questioning. May we ask if there are any further questions at this time?
Yes, I would like to ask a question. Hu'el, the weather conditions, they being manipulated by mankind.
We are those of Uku'o and are aware of your query, my sister. Because of the fact that this instrument is fully aware of information and research that indicate without question that such manipulation is indeed taking place, we may confirm that this is so. Is there a further question, my sister?
No, thank you.
Is there another query at this time?
Cool. I have a question. I guess it's in two parts. First is a general question. Can you talk about working with dreams and offer any advice or suggestions as to how best to work with dreams? And the second part, specifically, a dream I had about a month ago where I was talking to the little boy. I felt that was a negative experience. I don't know whether you're able to comment on that at all. Thank you, Paul.
We are those of Uku'o and are aware of your query, my brother. You are correct in assuming that we would have difficulty in speaking specifically concerning the dream concerning the small boy and whether or not there was a negative polarity in that dream. We have this difficulty, my brother, because of the fact that you have not come to a settled conclusion concerning the message that this dream offers to you. When you have come to such a conclusion and are able to state the truth that this dream has offered to you, we may again examine your query with perhaps more fullness of information. For now, we will simply confirm that such dreams are extremely useful and helpful as a part of the process of coming into full awareness of your own self-dynamics. And would encourage you to pursue the investigation of such striking and provocative material. This instrument is most interested in the gifts of the archetypal mind. One of the ways that is safest for the individual to use in exploring the deeper reaches of the unconscious or subconscious mind is an investigation of one's dreams. Such an investigation may begin very modestly, but it is a type of investigation which, if pursued with persistence and stability, tends to deepen and to begin to yield insight and an ever enlarging and more sturdy point of view from which to look at the self and creation in general. In terms of the mechanics of working with dreams, we would encourage the habit of keeping a small flashlight of some kind, a pad of paper, and a writing instrument at hand before going to bed, so that if one does awaken during the night with the memory of a dream, that one is able, without waking oneself up totally, to turn on this small and non-intrusive light that gives one the opportunity simply to write down one's memories. It is not necessary at the time of writing those memories down to work with them. It is enough simply to record the thoughts and then to turn off the flashlight, put down the paper and pen, and go back to sleep. It is, however, helpful at some point during the next waking period to go back over these hastily jotted notes, perhaps typing them into a more lasting record, and journaling about them in any way that you find yourself wishing to do. It is perfectly acceptable to use the rational intellectual mind with its analytical capabilities. It is equally acceptable and to be encouraged to help the mind run off of the logical tracks that it so often stays on due to old habit, and to invite the quirky combinations of thoughts and the insights that come at one from sideways when one allows what this instrument calls the mind sagging in the middle, so that points that seemingly are far distant from each other are suddenly brought close and new connections are made. And we speak specifically of that seeming dichotomy between the so-called left brain and right brain. Allow the dreaming process to create opportunities for you to link those two ways of thinking as you contemplate your dreams with insight as well as logic. Encourage your mind to become more and more integrated with itself and able to move with more and more facility between that logic of space-time and that insight of metaphysical space or time-space. You are a dweller in two worlds, and the dreaming process helps you to investigate that second world, which is not easily available to be seen in the haunts of humankind. May we answer you further, my brother?
No, thank you very much for...
We thank you, my brother. As this instrument's energy is waning, we would ask for a final query at this time.
I would like to ask Carl, I don't want to seem selfish, but if this is so moving me, if I truly am a wanderer, I'm where I need to be at this point in time, or do I have a lot of work to do?
We are those of Kuol and are aware of your query, my brother. Because this question is part of your active process at this time, my brother, we are not able to speak with you concerning validating whether or not you are a wanderer. at a time when you have concluded that you are or are not a wanderer, if you ask this question again, with the true conviction of your certainty, we then shall be able to offer more substantial information. But at this point, my brother, we would be interfering with your own learning. And for us to do your learning for you is an infringement upon your free will. We can say that all of those who are wanderers are also people of Earth. In a sense, all who draw breath have wandered far from their native land. All are strangers in a strange land, as the one known as Robert Heinlein said. All are spirits which have come into flesh and are having a physical experience. Yet your physical beingness is one more mask which you are wearing with style and grace, we may add. We thank each of you for being bold enough to enter the valley of the shadow of death. It is an interesting perspective, is it not? It does encourage fear in entities to perceive that they have been born and that they will die. And yet we say to you that that which is born and that which will die is a portion of yourself that is as easily shed as your coat and your hat, and as unimportant to who you are. Know yourself as people of Earth, and be very, very proud to be called such. At this time, we would leave you in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We are known to you as the principle of Kuo. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.